Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio in the interweb with me, Lisa Murphy. She's in the Zoom meeting room. Lisa Murphy's here. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I am good. Thank you. I got all my chores done before podcasting today.
Oh, that's good. Got to get the work done before playtime.
Right. Okay.
aren't you asking me how I am?
How are you, Jeff?
I'm so frustrated and confused about fucking adults.
Well, we talked about that in the last episode of...
It's pretty much the way I go through life. And it's not like I'm mad about it. It's just, I thought, and we've touched on this before, I thought when I was a kid that adults had their shit together and knew what they were
doing.
Tasha
does.
Well, Tasha does. Yeah, some adults, but... just us as a society and culture, we're just so, anyway. So I've been
Tell me about it, Jeff.
I've been watching them build this new elementary school for about 2 years now. And it opened a couple weeks ago. And all summer long, I watched them finish the playground. And they've got two playgrounds. They've got a little kid playground and a big kid playground.
Okay.
And one, that is a design set up for adults. They are going to have fewer bumped heads and fewer quote unquote conflicts when the older kids are on a different playground than the little kids.
Oh yeah. Who said that?
I mean, that's what the adults are thinking.
Sure.
If we were looking at what's best for kids, it would be much better, much more dynamic, much more learning rich if the big kids and the little kids had to share a space.
Exactly.
We talked with Dan Hodgins a little bit ago about loose parts and how Simon Nicholson says that loose parts are variables in the environment. Mixed age groups add variables to the environment.
Totally.
I mean, those older kids, those younger kids, those are variables in your space, and they're different things you can interact with. And so dividing the kids up by age for these playgrounds is a bad choice. Now they put in play structures on both of these. And
by play structures, you mean like fixed equipment?
I mean the fixed equipment that is the most, if you imagine the most generic looking modern playground structures you can imagine, that's what they put in. Now there's
such
one.
Such a waste of money.
Well, there's the one on the older kids playground the steps are a little bit further apart and it's made for bigger bodies. And the other one is designed specifically for littler bodies, which makes them boring.
Right.
I'm guessing, because I've looked at the catalogs and stuff over the years, I'm guessing each one of these structures is a good $40,000 or $50,000.
Oh, it just makes my heart. You know what kind of adventure playground we could?
I do know. and have money left over for a nice vacation in Hawaii.
Oh my God.
Now the surfacing on both of these underneath.
Oh, wait, let me guess. Is it that bouncy kind of rubbery smashed up tire nonsense that's like carpet?
Yes. It's
right.
It's that modular system of we're gonna glue this down. I watch it's put down with this construction adhesive and they put this stuff in at a playground in my neighborhood. And the thing is, if kids want to mess with it, there are kids poking at it with sticks and just taking chunks out of it over the time.
Out of it.
And then they had to come over and because they're looking for something they can interact with, something they can move. And so they put that down. And again, fewer loose parts.
If you've got
sand, so they made the loose parts, right?
Yeah,
they started taking the flooring apart.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you've got sand or gravel or wood chips or any of the kind of stuff that I grew up with asphalt underneath the climbing structures. But if you've got the wood chips and all that kind of stuff, again, hundreds and millions of individual loose parts is what wood chips and sand are. But of course, this structure was put in because that surface was put in because it's bright and shiny and looks nice in the catalog and it's a new thing, but also because it makes the adult's life easier. It's not going to be wood chips coming into the building in pockets on purpose and accidentally in hair, and it's going to make the custodian's life easier, and it's going to keep the building cleaner, and they're not going to have to wax the floors as often. And so all of that is done for the adults, not for the children.
Agreed.
And then surrounding that structure on both these playgrounds is concrete. And then you move away from the concrete a little bit, and then you finally get to some grass.
Grass. No sand on the playground at all? No sand anywhere?
No sand at all. Both of them have a couple of little sit on them and rock back and forth things.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of motion, but it's not like they can pick them up and haul them across the playground. A couple of them have the little fake steering wheel things.
Ugh.
And I mean, there's something you can move, but that gets really boring. And so I watch this come together all summer long and lightly fume every time we walk by.
Lightly fume.
Because I mean,
give yourself an ulcer.
If they had, I'm so far beyond having enough fucks to give for that to happen. But if they had put any effort into building a child-friendly playground, it would have looked completely different.
What about the novel notion of actually consulting with children?
Well, that did not happen. This building looks, and this is after the city has had practice building new school buildings. They've been building new school buildings for 15 or 20 years. They put in this effort to get an additional local sales tax passed to put money in. This is a $15 to $25 million building, I'm sure.
Oh my God.
And it is the most generic, boring, built for adult structure that they could ever come up with.
So Jeff, the thought that's been in my head since you started talking is insurance and liability. Mm-hmm. That's, to me, that's all this is. It's crossing the T's and dotting the I's to whoever is insuring it. So we're making people in a suit somewhere who, you know, haven't been down a slide in a long time. You know,
yes.
they're able to get the insurance put through, which is probably required in order to be able to build it in the first place. And just, I feel like we have sacrificed our children's souls in order to keep the suits happy. And that breaks my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. And this goes back, it also goes back to something we talked about in the last episode about cutting and pasting ideas. I'm sure this is what they're doing here because this is what they're doing in Austin or Minneapolis or wherever you want to think is cool. And this is the kind of school they're designing there. And so this is what we're going to have here because it's the way we're doing things. And for the architects, it gets to be basically cutting and pasting modules that'll fit on the land that you have and those kind of things. And so it's really, again, lazy when it comes to creating learning spaces.
And as an article that I read, and I was thinking for a quick second, I don't even remember which one it was, but they said that by the time the kids get to the playground, all the creativity and imagination has already been tapped into by the designers, right? So it's already done. There's nothing for the children to tap into. Now, based on what you're describing, I would even argue that the designers didn't even have any creativity
have any
in this at all,
it.
At all.
Then school started.
So you've been watching it get built, and now it's built, and
I've
now
seen
there's
human children on the playground.
Oh, tell me about that.
Fucking bored.
Off their gourd.
So maybe the first day there's a little bit of excitement.
Because it's new.
Yeah, because it's new. And then, I mean, a week ago, this is a week and a half into school, I walk by. And it might be a preschool class, kindergarten at oldest outside playing. And half of them are just sitting on the benches. Now, I don't know, they may not even be allowed on the grass yet because they got the grass put in so late, it's not established, so they may not even be able to use the grass parts yet. And Lisa Murphy here, after however many minutes this has been, after 10 minutes of whatever Jeff has been ranting about, here's the point. Play will find a way.
Oh,
I
noticed. Look at you with the book titles. Keep going.
I noticed on this concrete there, because I mean, again, there's a new, it's new construction. And so there's still a lot of dirt around. And so on one place in the concrete, there's this place that when it rains, the dirt that gets washed by the rain settles. And I saw two little girls sitting in this place, and it's maybe a 2 foot square hunk of the very corner of this concrete where this dirt settled. And by this time it had turned to dust, and they are brushing and scraping and building piles. And at most it's maybe two tablespoons, a quarter of a cup of dirt. And every time I walk by now, I'm seeing different fingerprints in this dirt, because this on that whole playground, this has become the one fucking place they can find some actual loose parts and interact with a material on a way that they want to, because there's not a goddamn block or stick or anything on there. There's this little bit of dirt. Play will find a way. This was beautiful, and it lit my soul on fire before, you know, the realities of life darkened it again. No, I mean, it was beautiful. And I walk by there and I'm watching this. I'm just waiting for them to hose it away.
Well, okay. So here's, and I don't know, you might push back against this a little bit, I might even want to play devil's advocate to the thought that I'm having.
Okay.
So when you first started talking, I wrote down a note and I wrote, you know how there's yarn bombing, you know, yarn where like the people who know how to knit will like go knit around like a tree trunk or on a fence, and they call it a yarn bombing. I'm wondering about like loose parts bombing, you know, like in the dark of night. So that's what I wrote down a few minutes ago. And now to this, what you just said, like, I could totally see you in the middle of the night, like dumping a box of fill dirt, you know, over the fence. So there's more of it, right? But then at that point, are we intruding on it? Like, are we assuming that they need more of that? This is the devil's advocacy part. Like the giver in me is like, oh my God, let's go throw some milk crates over the fence at nighttime so that there's something there. But is that me assuming that they're needing something? Talk to me.
Oh, well, a lot of things. First, I thought, well, Jeff started talking, I wrote down a note. I thought your note was probably going to be something along the line, Jeff started another damn rant.
No, not at all. So, figured this was your turn because I ranted on the last episode.
I've done something like that. A couple years ago, the local boys club, which is now a boys and girls club, yay, great. I think that's, again, more loose parts, more variety, more variables on the playground. They built this, compared to the school playground, it's a pretty decent playground. They've got actual boulders on for climbing and jumping. They've got some climbing structures that are very challenging, some of these big ropey things that are kind of asymmetrical. And so it's kind of some neat stuff. And about a month after they opened, because they didn't have a lot of, they had some footballs and, you know, those red playground balls out, but not a whole bunch of stuff to tote around. I did show up with a bunch of log cookies, those kind of things, and pipes and loose parts that we were getting rid of, and just left them there in the corner of their playground. One evening after they were closed.
And did you sneak back like to look and see?
Well, it was a place I walked by on a regular basis, so I got to see. And for a couple weeks, the stuff was getting used, and they did stuff like they put in a stream bed that they could actually turn the hose on and run water through.
Oh, that's cool and cool.
And all that stuff got used, the stuff I dropped off, the boulders, the dry stream bed that could be made into a wet stream bed got used for a while, until apparently there was a staff change or the staff got lazy and bored, and then all of it disappeared. All this summer, I didn't see a drop of water.
And I would bet that then the behavior problems skyrocketed.
Yeah. And in fact, they were outside probably And I mean, maybe the times I was going by weren't the time, maybe their schedule had changed or something, but I noticed that there had been much less activity this year on that playground than there had been in years past. And I mean, they did great things. They put a lot of plantings in. So there'd be seed pods and sticks and all this kind of stuff. But then it just didn't get used to its potential. So I'd forgotten that until you started talking about this, because I mean, this is 5-6 years ago, but that would be something fun to do. The other thing I've noticed at the school, because we go by in the morning, school starting time is one of the times we're there. And so kids are getting dropped off. When you look in, they've kind of, the main entry, it kind of opens onto the lunchroom space, and there's just 10, 15 kids sitting around one of the those folding lunch tables that they have.
Yeah.
Just sitting there before school starts.
Okay.
I don't know why these little humans aren't out on the boring playground. At least they'd be sitting around being bored outside. But again, it's most likely to make life easier for the adults. If they're outside, there might be scruffles and it's just easier to manage them here. And it's kindergartners and fourth graders all in the same group, and we can't have them intermixing outside. And so,
God forbid,
I'm waiting to just stop by and knock on the door. A lot of table pounding I'm doing recently.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be like, why the fuck aren't those kids outside? Because that'd be a dick move. But why?
Could you imagine? Could you imagine what would happen if you did do that? I mean, how quickly would the cops be there?
Well, I've got a story I'll tell in an upcoming episode that I've had some pleasant interactions with some of the local cops lately. So they'd be like, oh, there's him. So for me, this building has been, the one thing they got right is they put a garbage can out front. So I've got a new place to drop off dog poop on the
walk.
Well,
there you go.
So I'm not carrying the dog poop as far. So this to me is like a $20 million garbage can is what the school has ended up being.
Oh my God.
And I, this is another episode where we complain about things, and
here's the upside then.
That's what I was going to say. Let's find the upside and put a positive spin on this.
And this actually, so I'm sharing with you a thought that is not my original thought. It was shared with us this last weekend at the conference in Swansea. So she said that when it comes to loose parts should never take away from a natural environment. And I'm going to unpack this a little more in an article, but meaning that, like, if you're already outside in the woods, in the forest, you got rocks, you got sticks, you got streams to jump over. The goal is not necessarily to add perhaps manufactured loose parts to that space, because nature is providing those loose parts. Her idea, not idea, but her, where she was going with it was that loose parts add to these kinds of desert playgrounds. That's where the loose parts can benefit, right? The bombing, like I just said, right? The loose part bombing. So at the end of the day, if you're listening and your program, your school, whatever, has one of these kind of desert asphalt jungles that, like what Jeff is describing, instead of lamenting what you feel you can't do, change your mindset and start thinking about, okay, this is a baseline. Now I can add to this. I can add junk that I find. I can add tires to it. I can add the loose parts to this. You know, are they going to come in and rip it out and turn it into a beautiful open space? No. But let's add to it. That to me, I think, would be the strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, throwing one of those bags of dog poop over the fence onto the playground instead of putting it in that $20 million garbage can would actually create more of something to interact with and a bigger variable in the environment than the $50,000 play structure.
Oh, I agree.
I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I'd probably figure out something different. Maybe I need to figure out a way to just let the dogs loose onto the playground.
Dogs loose, wood scraps. You got a pile of wood in the backyard. Toss some 2x4s over the fence.
I have a live trap, you know, for catching stray cats and raccoons and possums.
Put that out there.
I just need, I'm going to catch the stuff in my yard.
Yeah, and then I would
just start releasing wayward creatures onto the playground. That'd be great. You know, just things like ribbon and, we've got a fucking basement full of loose parts. I should start doing that, Lisa. If not,
and then report else, back. And
if,
report
yeah,
back.
I was going to say, if nothing else, it'd be content on future episodes.
Well, it's also research, Jeff. I mean, as an observer, outside observing, I mean, if you were able to stand around there for a week without, you know, looking like the creepy dude, you know, hanging out at the park, you could probably gather some very accurate data. How many, you know, what did you see? What did you notice? What kind of playing did you see? What kind of body movements did you see? What were you observing happen? And then with the introduction of these variables, and then go back and see what happened. I mean, that's research.
Yeah. I thought about just bringing my my collapsible going to things chair, you know, those kind of things and a cooler and just parking myself on the sidewalk outside the playground one day with my iPad.
Jane
Goodall.
I kept saying the monkey lady in my head. That's not right.
I totally thought about doing that some afternoon just to see how that, mostly to gauge how the school responded, but also to collect some information. Yeah. I don't know. At least they started building another school.
But maybe you need to be more involved, or not that you care really, but I mean,
no, Lisa Murphy, 20 years ago, I was on a committee when they were doing new middle schools. And I've talked about this before. We came up with some ideas about what we as a community wanted to see in the school, because this is just 20 or 30 people from the community. And then they did the fucking exact opposite thing.
So why bother?
Yeah, you can only...
But then this goes back to what we talked about, and actually now it makes perfect sense hearing it with a different scenario, of my DAP comments, right? That you were like, I'm glad, Lisa, that you felt that this was something you needed to do. Mm-hmm. However... the proof will be in the pudding, you know, if actually anything gets done, you know. So meanwhile, you've spent this time, you're sharing your story now about, you know, I used to do this, I give and give and give and give. And then all you find out is that, boom, you know, why bother, you know, and that can get very old and frustrating.
Now I just generate hundreds and hundreds of hours of people complaining about stuff on podcasts.
But we try to have a strategy.
I mean, I think if you're looking for a takeaway from Jeff whining for another episode, it's remember, play will find a way.
I love that.
Kids are incredibly, I mean, that's how you get Jurassic Park. Life will find a way, but so will play, because it's part of the evolutionary strategy for figuring out how to survive and thrive in our worlds and cultures.
Well,
children are wired for play.
And unless they're sick, you're going to see it, right?
Yeah.
And I would say, and this could be a slippery slope, and it's perhaps another episode, of when the environments become toxic, not literally, but in a more metaphorical sense, you will see a decrease in the play, because they're not physically sick, but mm-hmm. environmentally sick.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could almost argue that 2 weeks into school, when kids are bored and sitting on the benches already, that's
something's wrong.
That's aiming towards toxic right there. I should apologize, because I forgot there are two poles for tetherball.
No, but are there balls on the
team? I have not seen a rope and or ball on either one of them so far. And
my comment's going to be, who even knows how to play that game anymore?
Yeah, well... I mean,
so there's just a tire? There's a tire filled with cement and a pole?
Oh, no, this is the pole is in the concrete. So there's not even a tire. This isn't even a mobile one. This is permanent.
Maybe they don't know what it's for.
Well, I don't think they put the balls and ropes out yet, I'm guessing.
But somebody could choke.
And I think that's why. I think they were either choking or having them stolen. So they're trying to save. I don't know. Hey, this has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. We'll be back. To complain about something? No, we'll be back to talk. We'll be back. We'll leave it there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing the show. Find Lisa at ooeygooey.com. Search Explorations Early Learning for me. Go visit the Playvolution HQ site if you want more articles and stuff. I'm working with some other content creators to repost their stuff and add original stuff to the HQ site, because we want to make that a growing resource. Numbers are way up on the number of people visiting each week and month. So that's kind of cool. Thank you for that. Enjoy the day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Oh.